Hey, welcome back to my writing podcast called Sometimes I Write, and this is your host Anjali Sinha. And in today's episode, I'm going to talk about subplots and why you need them and how do you execute them. So if you'd want to learn more about this topic, hold on, grab a cup of coffee or tea and join me in this podcast episode. The idea of subplots is interesting to me, and they are what they mean. They are sub and they are plots, and they are small pieces of information interwoven so beautifully with the main conflict that your reader would be satisfied by the end of the book. So, a very small example: a small girl whose mom has passed away suddenly finds a piece of jewelry in her mom's dressing room or in her mirror cabinet or something, and she thinks that that piece of jewelry belongs to her mom, but incidentally it belongs to the father's mistress, and she clings onto it for years and later on finds that no, her dad lied. So something as small as that, you can use it, and you can use it effectively and interweave it with the main conflict if you know what the main conflict of your story is. So using subplots is a very effective technique to shed more light on the characters and their motivations and who they are, their character arc. You can place them like small golden nuggets that when the reader finds them, they are absolutely satisfied. And you can use subplots in a million different ways. You can literally use any small information or any small plot thread really interestingly if you give it enough wings, and your main conflict would fly. Sometimes I see this especially in TV series, is a small plot thread would be introduced in say episode 3 or something, and then you literally finish the entire season to find out that something that was introduced in season 3 played a very major role for the character to behave or act in a certain way in the last episode. So it was a stepping stone, not really a stepping stone, but a stone that really builds to the main conflict. So yeah, a stepping stone, something like that. So you can use subplots in a million different ways if, again, you know what the main conflict is and you can resolve it later on. I've seen a very good use of a subplot in this book called Holes. In that book, if I remember correctly, it's a middle school fantasy, middle grade fantasy book, where there's this protagonist who has to make a decision of carrying his injured friend all the way from a hill, and they literally have nothing to eat but onions, but he still makes that choice and later finds out that the only reason they survived was because the other friend introduced onions, and there was like a myth that if you eat onions, something about that magical hill won't affect you, and that's the reason they were both saved, something about that. I mean, I've read that book so long ago, but it came to me right now. And you can also use a romantic subplot, which I think you've seen in so many shows. For example, I'll pick up Friends, a very interesting romantic subplot in both character arcs of Chandler and Monica is them getting together. Before, they're both lost, they're dating people who would seem like they're nice, but they are not really good to them. But for their character arcs to publish, they got together. And when they got together, you see that Chandler has to make those changes in his character if he wants a successful relationship. Like, that was his character's need and want, is to have a successful relationship with some woman. And then Monica steps in, who's like a friend to him, and he feels like if he has to keep her, he has to make certain changes to his character, where he has to be he used to be like commitment phobic, so he had to commit because Monica wanted a marriage at the end of the day, and so at the end of the day, that was her character's need. She wants marriage and children. And then you take someone like Chandler, who's commitment phobic, and you place it with someone who really wants commitment. So it only so happens that this protagonist has to change and go through a character arc to achieve both of their needs at the end of the day, which is a commitment, like a marriage with kids. So interestingly, you can see subplots in so many different shows. So as a fun exercise, whenever you watch something, if you watch a movie or you watch any show, you try to count all the subplots in it. Things that you see that is introduced, it might not work out, it work out if, or if it works out, or if the character really makes a major change in the way they act, or if they change their character, or if they go through a character transformation to achieve both of their goals by the end of the movie, series, or you can do this with a book too. And you'll see so many subplots will take shape in front of you, because like I said, any piece of the plot or any piece of information or an event, why am I saying information, I'll say event, any piece of event, if you use it correctly, it can become a subplot, and you know, you can use that to enhance the crisis situation, increase the tension, and then you resolve it by the end of the book. You do not want your readers to, you know, be dissatisfied. You want them to be satisfied. So as long as we're talking about unsatisfaction and satisfaction in the sense of plot threads, I will also like to mention that you can use this as like a family setting. You can use family members, family relationships as plot threads. You can literally, from all the things that I've seen, you can literally use anything, any event, you can take any tension in the book, you can take and incorporate with a small event and it becomes a subplot. I think anything becomes a subplot if it makes a character go through a transformation. So it has to change the character in some way by the end of the book. Or if you wanted to do like a small subplot, you can sprinkle those too throughout the book. But at the end of the day, you also have to remember that while subplots are nice and readers appreciate them, you do not want to put too many of those, and especially not leave them unresolved, because again, you are going to unsatisfy your readers, and we are working towards reader satisfaction. So you have to be sure that you're not just adding subplots to increase word count of your books, but somehow this plot thread will affect your character. Either your subplot affects your character and it makes them make a change throughout their plot, throughout their character arc, or it affects the plot in some way. So only then it will become a subplot. And I feel like Nobody really talks about that, but yeah, subplots are very interesting ways to increase momentum, pace in your work, especially when you feel like at any part of your book there are filler chapters, or you know, when your character is dragging their feet, just add a subplot, have it have an effect on your character, and yeah, that will be resolved, and make sure that it gets resolved by the end of the book and it relates to the central conflict in some way, and the reader gets to see the character in a new light, then you're using your subplots correctly. Subplots not only help you, you know, increase tension or pacing, or give your character you know, a transformation through their character arc, but they also help the reader relate to the character more, because they see the character going through certain moments in the book, and if that moment is something that the reader has gone through too, they will remember your book much better, or it gives them a chance to connect to the reader connect to the character deeply, and you really need that if you want a memorable book, especially when you see comments like, okay, this book has so much angst, it's only because the writer introduced so many subplots that built the tension, that built the pacing, that built the relationship between the characters, the two or three main protagonists and the antagonist force, and the reader had the chance to relate to the character when they were acting or making a decision in their own certain complex events. So that's why I feel like subplots come in handy. And like I've told you, you need that in relationship with the main conflict to properly execute them. And when you do that, you make a memorable book and you leave your readers feeling really satisfied. And that's what we want as writers, don't we? Thank you for coming in and listening to me in this podcast episode. I really enjoy talking to you guys, and as I always say, it was lovely talking to you. And as an additional note, I will try to become more regular with my podcast episodes. I've been thinking of incorporating one podcast episode per week, and I'm working towards that, and I'm going to be actively working towards that from the coming weeks. So if you do not have the notifications turned on, and if you do not follow me, please do that, so you get the notifications, you know when I post, and you get to hear my lovely voice. You know, I'm so lovely. And yeah, like I always say, it was lovely talking to you, and I'll see you in the next one.